Okay, we're on Daf Mem Dalin tonight. Let me begin on Mem Gimel Mud Beis, and then just to go over from yesterday. All right, so around 8 lines from the bottom on Mem Gimel Mud Beis, 43b. Last word in line is Nechemya. Nechemya b'reid Rav Chaniloi mishachtei shmaita. He got engrossed in his learning. This Nechemya, the son of Rav Chaniloi, but apachus tchum. He left the tchum. So once you leave tchum, you're limited to dalet amot, and it's not a good situation for anybody to be in. Amar li Rav Chisda Rav Nachman. So Rav Chisda said to Rav Nachman, Nechemya talmid chasheru b'tzar. Nechemya, your talmid is in, you know, Gahak Tetzuris. He's all by himself out there. So he says, so Amar lo, I say the mechitza shubanei adam v'yikani. So he said, make a partition of people. Get a whole crowd of people. They'll surround him. And where they surround him will be like one rishus. It's like the person who is taken out of his tchum on Shabbos by Goyim, and they put him in a dir or a sahar, into an enclosure, so he can walk the whole length of that enclosure. So they'll put him in this enclosure of people, and one possibility is the enclosure of people will reach back to his original tchum, and in such a fashion he'll be able to walk back. He says, Yativ Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak achori de Rava. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was sitting behind Rava. V'yativ Rava kamed Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting before Rav Nachman. Amarli Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak to Rava. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is in the second row. Says to Rava, who's in the first row, my come by lay the Rav Chista. What exactly was bothering Rav Chista? The fact that Rav Chista asked this question to Rav Nachman sounds like Rav Chista was mesupak on a din. He says, Ilema b'damalu gavri askinan. Maybe one possibility, one scenario is that there were enough people to surround Nechemya b'reid Rav Chaniloi and to make like a circle big enough to get back to his original tchum. Become Vile Hilchatak Rav Gamliel on the top line on Memdal and Aleph. Oh, ain't halak Rav Gamliel. And maybe he was with Supak, is halak like Rav Gamliel. We saw in the Mishnah, this machloket. If somebody's forcibly taken out of their tchum by Goyim and put in a deer or a sahar, put in an enclosure, so Rav Gamliel and Rav Lazar ben Azariah hold that Hilchu at Kula. They can go through the whole length of the whole area that, of the enclosure. And remember, Rabbi Yeshua and I think Rabbi Akiva held that you're limited to Dalet Amot. So maybe he was asking this question because he was Mesupak, is the halacha like Rabbi Gamliel? So the halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel, so it's not, that's not going to help me too much. He says, Odilma, or possibility number two, B, Odilma, but Lomalu Gabri Eskinen, or perhaps the case here, they didn't have enough people to enclose this fellow to make him back to his original tchum, become a bayale, halakha kriblezer, or ain't halakha kriblezer. Perhaps they just had enough people to bring him within two amot of his original tchum, and he was asking, we'll see this later on, not tonight, but later on in the Masechta, is the halakha like kriblezer or not? That's on the Mishnah on Nun Beis. So Reblezer holds that if you're within two amot of your tchum, you could step back into the tchum. Because, in other words, everybody has dalet amot. So according to Reblezer, dalet amot means total of dalet amot by dalet amot. So I have two amot, and so if I'm within two amot, so I can walk two amot. And once I walk two amot on my original tchum, so then I'm home free. Maybe that was his question. So the Gemara says, but the Chachamim don't agree with Reblezer. So the Gemara says, Pshita b'lo malu gavrei askinan. It's logical, it's got to be the second scenario, not the first scenario. He says, Disa kadaita b'damalu gavrei askinan. If you assume they had enough people to surround this Nechemya b'rei de Rav Chaniloi to get him back to his original tchum, mighty bailei, what would have question have been? Is halacha like Rav Gamliel or not? Ha'amar Rav halacha Rav Gamliel, but the Yerba Sahar was Sfina. Rav said the halacha follows Rav Gamliel, and Dir and Sahar and Sfina, and Rav Chista was the Talmud of Rav. The Gemara mentions Meshechah Shabbos on Daf Tet on Yud Amud Beis. So it says that Rav Chista was a Kohen, and Rav Chista had two manos kuna, like Zro, Lachayai, Mekeva. He said if somebody would teach him like a memra from Rav that he hadn't heard, he would give him these two matanos. And then Rav Bar Machasya taught him something, and he says, like, are the words of, you know, Rav so precious to you? So he said, Me'alta al bishayu yakira, like the fine fabric is appreciated by the one who's used to wearing it. Meaning, to a person who's accustomed to always, you know, his Rebbe's, you know, teachings, so it is, he does appreciate it very much. You know, there's a, I can't remember his name right now, but there's Rav Mordechai Gifter had a son-in-law, who lived, I think, in Far Rockaway. I don't remember his name right now. But he wrote an article years ago, and he was saying how Mordechai Gifter was an American. I think he was born like in Virginia or something like that. And then he studied at Yeshiva Reinetz Chalchanan when he was like 17 for a year under Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And then he went to Europe to study in Telz. And I told you, in like the 20s and 30s, there were like not a lot, but there were, you know, b'sach hakol, I think a few hundred Talmidim that went from America to study in yeshivas in Eastern Europe. And so he was one of those Talmidim went to study in Eastern Europe. And the Rosh Yeshiva at Telz, so I don't know, it was Reb Lach, said to him that like he was giving a shiur one night in the in town, in other words, he gave shiurim in the yeshiva, but then he gave like a shiur klali for the townspeople in Telz. So he said to Rav Gifter, he said, maybe you'd like to come. And Rav Gifter emphasized that he was young at the time, and he said he thought he would benefit more from studying in the yeshiva. And so I think the Rebbe said to him, you know, Meltal Bishayu Yakira, like in other words, like your Rebbe's teachings should be so, you know, precious to you that you're machshivit, you know, to come to listen to it. So anyway, so Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rav, and so Mela, if Rav said with the halacha that way, so then that would be the halacha for him. So the Gemara says, Ella on the sixth line of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says Ella Vadai Blo Malu Gavri Askinan. So rather, Mustama, the situation was there weren't enough people to get him back to his original tchum, but just to get him within two amot of his original tchum, Ud Reb Lezer Kama Bayalei. And so he, Rav Chista, was Mesupak. Can you rely on this halacha of Reb Lezer or not? So he says. So the Gemara says Dekanami the Kamerla Yikane. So we can deduce this from a careful reading of what Rav Nachman said back to him. So Rav Chista asked Rav Nachman, what should I do with this? He says, your Talmud Nechemiah is in, you know, Gahak de Tzores. So Rav Nachman said to him, Aseilu Mechitza Shel Bnei Adam B'Ikane. So the way the Gemara understands it is a two-step process. Make a Mechitza people, step one, and step two, B'Ikane, so he'll enter. In other words, even after they make this whole group, but it's only going to get within two amot of his Tchum, and then Mela, he'll step over the two amot. So my ikanes lav below mechitza. Does it not mean that without a mechitza he would enter his original place? Okay, let's just summarize what takes questions, comments, thoughts. Okay, so this one. So again, everybody's got a tchum Shabbos, tchum yantiv. You have 2,000 amot you can walk on Shabbos. This one fellow Nechemya raised Rav Chani Law. He got engrossed in his learning and steps outside his tchum. So he can only go dalet amot. Now he's stuck. So Rav Chista asked Rav Nachman, you know, your Talmud is stuck. What are we going to do with him? So the Gemara wasn't sure exactly what Rav Chista was asking him. Was he asking him that I'll make, you know, and then Rav Nachman answers him, you'll have a group of people to make a mechitza and he'll enter. So the Gemara entertained two possibilities. Either it means I have like a whole crowd of people and the crowd of people will be enough to get him back to his original tchum, or possibly, and the question he was bothered with is the halakha like Rabbi Gamliel, that you can go the entire length and breadth of an enclosure, you know, that's outside your tchum. Or perhaps that was not the question. Perhaps there weren't enough people to get him back to his original tchum. And his question was, but there were enough people to get him within two amot of his original tchum. So the question is, can a person enter the tchum from two amot away, which is the sheet of the Tana Reb Lezer later on? And he said, the Gemara says that's really what was bothering him. And that's what Rav Nachman said to do. So you make a mechisa of people, and then yikanes, then on his own, he'll enter. Okay, who's the question comes to us, anything we did so far?
So this didn't break any new ground from what we did last night. This is where we left off?
Yeah. Okay. What we did a few more lines than we did last night. We did about five, six more. I didn't do all of this last night, but it's all right. So I'm going on. In the last five, six lines we didn't do last night, okay? All right, let's see further in the Gemara. So we're on the sixth line of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Volkim Shaya. Okay, so the Gemara says, Eifi Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'Rava. So now Rav Nachman Yitzchak posed the following question to Rava. So Rava, again, they were in the shir before Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Yitzchak was asking him, like, what was the problem? And Rava was explaining it to him. So now he's asking further clarification. Now, he's bothered by the fact when I set people up to be a partition, isn't there a problem about making a partition on Shabbos and Yantiv? And if that's the case, how do they make a partition even with people? In other words, the Korah should be prohibited. So the Gemara says, Now, dofna let's say this is talking about sukkahs. Okay, so if the wall of the sukkah fell down on Yontif, so he says, lo yamiba adam behim v'kelim. A person should not put a person there, an animal, or kelim to fill in that fourth wall, that wall, the wall, and not fourth wall, the wall. Below he's kofar amita lefros sadin, and he shouldn't. Let's say he's got, the Gemara assumes he's got a bed in the sukkah, so he shouldn't like stick the bed up. The bed was just a frame, and then he'll stretch a sheet over the bed, so he'll have another wall. He shouldn't do any of that. Lepishe nosin ol arai b'tchila b'yom tov ein sirich lamar b'shabbat. You're not allowed to make an ol arai, a temporary ol. The sukkah is temporary, so it's temporary ohel. So I'm not allowed to do that. So if I can't make a temporary ohel, so on Shabbos and Yontiv, so what are the people? They're also a temporary, like a temporary wall, a temporary mechitza. So how are you allowed to make this temporary mechitza to help this Nehemiah braid the Rav Chani Loi get back to his tchum? And that's the Braisa. So that's what the question was that the Rav Nachman Yitzchak was asking Rava. So Amar Leis, so Rava says back to him, Amar Leis Meha, you quoting this Braisa that says you can't do it. Now I'm going to quote a Braisa that says you could do it. He says, I'm going to quote this braisa. Here the braisa says, a person can make his friend into a dofen. It's like a different you know, twist on inviting somebody to dinner. I meant that you should stand here and be our wall, not to eat the dinner. Anyway, so he says, so he invites the person to the sukkah, and the person's going to be the wall. He says, so a person could do that, so that he can eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah. You know, it's interesting. If you look at the Rashi, the eighth narrow line in Rashi, to eat, drink, and sleep. Rashi says that that's the ikar, the main purpose of the sukkah, those three things, eating, drinking, and sleeping in the sukkah. You know, it's an interesting Rashi. You wouldn't think to look at Masechet Erevin to find this Rashi, but it's in Erevin. In other words, it's a halakha in sukkah, but here's the Rashi here in Erevin.
Which Rashi is that?
A mem dalet amud aleph, around the eighth narrow line from the top. You have it? All right, so back in the Gemara, so he says you're allowed. So he says you're allowed to do it. And v'yiskofen amita v'yifrosel sadin, and a person could like stand up at the bed frame, and spread a sheet over it. K'deishlo tipo chama alamet. So the sun doesn't shine on a dead person. Yala ochlin on food. So we have two brises. So again, so this Rav Nachman Yitzchak was asking Rava, How did they have all the people be a partition for Nehemiah Berei the Rav Chani Loi? The Bryce says you can't do it. So Rava quotes a different Bryce says you could do it. So the Gemara says Kasha Nahadari. So the two Bryces contradict one another. One Bryce says you can't do it. One Bryce says you could do it. One Bryce says I can't have a person stand up for the wall. One says you could. One says I can't do you stand up the bed. And the other says I could. So the Gemara says, no kashas, no contradiction between the brises. Harab Lezer, Harab Banan. One brice is following the Tana Rab Lezer, the more stringent one, and one more lenient is following the Chachamim. Titan, because we learned the Mishnah, and this is for Dafyomi, I think we'll recall this, or we had it not too long ago, relatively in Dafyomi terms. But Kakachalon, the window shutter. Remember, in the walls, they had not a window glass, but just a hole in the wall, and they have a shutter. They got like a square of wood or whatever to put over the hole to close the window. So this is Kakachalon. If it's tied to the building and it's suspended, so it looks like it's already part of the building, so you could use it. Otherwise, you're not allowed to be mosif on a binyan, even if it's arai, in other words, and the shutter is arai. So I can't be mosif on the binyan, according to the Tana Reb Lezer. He says, the Chachamim say, it doesn't make a difference if it's not kosher and talui, I can be pokek with it. So the Gemara assumes that the Chachamim permit you to make. We think the Chachamim permit you to build a ma'ol arai. That's what we think. Chachamim permit you to build an ol arai on Shabbos and on Yantiv. That's what we think. If that's the case, so the first price says you can't do it, follows Reb Lezer. The second price says you could do it, follows the Chachamim. That's what we think. So the Gemara says that's not working. By Itmar law, but it was stated concerning that last Mishnah about the pekakach alone, the window shutter. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim She'ein Osin Ol Arai B'Tchil B'Yom Tov, Vein Tzirich L'Mor B'Shabbat. Everybody agrees, I cannot make an Ohel Arai on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a dead letter. I cannot make an Ohel Arai. So building the wall of the Sukkah is making an Ohel Arai. That everybody agrees I cannot do, Lechora. So he says, Lo Nechlu El Lahosif. The only machloket over there was adding on. In other words, there is an existing structure. I'm adding on a little piece to it. He says, Shereb Lezer Omer Ein Mosif in B'Yom Tov Ein Sirich Lomor B'Shabbat. Lezer says, he can't be Mosif even to an Ohel Arai, even on Yom Tov and certainly on Shabbos, but Chachamim Omri Mosif and B'Shabbat Ein Sirich Lomar B'Yom Tov. Chachamim said it could be Mosif, but so now, so we still don't know. And again, we had one Brisa says I can put the, I can make the wall to the sukkah. One Brisa says I can't make the wall with the sukkah with a person, with an animal, or with kelim, and I can't, you know, put the bedpost up and spread a sheet over it. And the other Brisa says I could. So we thought that related to the machloket about the pekaka chalon, but the Gemara says no, it doesn't, because the pekaka chalon is just talking about being mosif on a bin, adding on to an existing structure. Here, when we're building a whole wall, that's like building an ohel arai, because the sukkah is arai, it's only going to be up temporarily. So it's building a whole arai, but everybody agrees I can't put up an ohel arai on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Okay, I was going to. Any questions so far? All right, Michael, you ready? You got to make your statement now, Michael. Good group. All right. Let's take a look. All right. Now we're around 10 lines from the bottom. I'm Mendalan Amla 44A. 10 lines from the bottom. Everybody think? So the Gemara says El Lo Kasha. The Gemara says we still don't have a contradiction between the two brises. Again, we're trying to resolve that contradiction between the two brises. One brise says I could stick a man or a kalim for the fourth wall. The other says I can't. He says Ha Reb Meir. Haka Rebbe Meir, Haka Rebbe Yehuda. One will follow the sheet of Rebbe Meir, one will follow the sheet of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. The Tana, we learn in the Braisa, Asa'ala Behema Dofen the Sukkah. If I use a Behema as a wall for the Sukkah, I don't know why I imagine like an elephant, but an elephant. Let's say I'm my cow, and my cow is the four. You know, let me see if the wait, so let me take a look if I have a picture here. One second. Oh, I got a picture. Okay. We got a picture. All right. So here's the cow. Everybody see the cow? He's got strings attached to it. I guess so he can't move. That's the basic idea. And he's the fourth wall, the sukkah. And here you see the bed. Here's the bed. The bed is on its side. And that's the way he imagines it. And he spreads a sheet across the bed. Everybody see the sheet? Here's the bed. In other words, the bed is just a bed frame. It's just like, you know, like a rectangle. And he's got the sheet hanging from the bed. So he's got a fourth wall. And here you see the wall that fell down. Here's the wall that fell down. All right?
Okay, so I have a question.
1 minute. You should have asked it before.
No, but it's relevant.
One minute.
Now it's relevant.
Wait 5 minutes, all right? I'm in the middle of a sugya. When I say to ask,
I know, but now it's become relevant based on these pictures.
You know, like Reb Chaim says,
you could have answered the question by now.
Yeah, okay. One second, my friend. One second. I'm sorry. I'll get to you in a few minutes, Robert, okay? Just hold the question. Okay, let me go back. Now, so the Gemara says, "Hakareb Meir, Hakareb Yehuda." The Tanya, we learn the Brisa, "Asal the behema dofen l'sukkah." If a person uses a behema as a wall to the sukkah, so he says, "Rabbi Meir posel." Rabbi Meir posels because he's concerned that the animal is going to walk off. So he doesn't want to. And what does Rashi say there? He says, "Mishum delo habi." Not here. Where is it? One second. Yeah, Ramir Post is higher. Mefarsh Sechet Sukkah, Shema Tivrach. Because he's concerned the animal could, you know, draw, you know, walk off at any point in time. I'm eating in the Sukkah. I'm sleeping in the Sukkah. So I can't rely on animal. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Machshi. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, it is a kosher machitza. So the Gemara thinks like this. Ramir de Kapasil Hatam. Ramir says that I can't use the animal to complete the Sukkah. He says, Alma lo machitzahi. That means it's not legally considered to be a machitza. So if I have an animal, I can't use the animal. But if I did use the animal, I'm not creating a machitza with the animal because the animal doesn't create it like a legally valid machitza. So ha chashari, de lav midi ka'abid. So over here, And the Gemara is going to schlug up this answer with a million different holes. But the Gemara says, so the Brice that says that I could use the animal to create the wall, we think it's like Reb Meir, because Reb Meir holds the animal doesn't make a legally valid wall. So it's not making a legally valid wall. So it's like, you know, no harm, no foul. He says, Reb Yehuda, the Kamachshir Hatam, Reb Yehuda says, no, animal is a good wall. Alma mechitzahi. So that means it is a valid mechitza. So hacha asar. So here he'll asar. That's what the Gemara thinks with those two shitot. So the Gemara says, v'tispra, does that make sense? Emer deshamet le Reb Meir behema. So we only heard this machloket about the behema. Reb Meir holds that the behema, you know, it doesn't make a good wall. And Reb Yehuda holds it does. But adam kalim mishamet le. But the Brisa mentioned that putting an Adam and Kalim. So Meir doesn't say that Adam and Kalim cannot make legally valid mechitzot, and that's what the Brisa is referring to and giving me a green light to do those things. But two, Remeir Aliba Daman, in addition to which, ostensibly, you want to say Remeir is the one who permits you to use these things. So within it, which shita is he going in terms of binyan by Yantiv? He says, Ialib to Reb Lezer, Lahosif Nami Asar. So Reb Lezer holds, I can't be Mosif on a binyan. El Alib to Rabbanan, Amar da Amir Rabbanan, Lahosif Lachachila Miyamur. Even the Chachamim only hold you can be Mosif, but you can't build from the get go. All right, let me get to Robert. Okay, let me get Robert now. One second. Okay, Robert, what do you got for me? Let me hear.
Okay, so I'm just going back to your diagram.
Okay, let me get
Let's
diagram.
Say,
All right, let me get diagram. Okay.
Well, it's relevant to the diagram. Let's say I'm sitting at the head of the table.
Right.
And you're sitting to my left or my right.
Right.
Can you be considered a wall?
It depends where I am vis-a-vis, like the, in other words, one person, in order to be a wall, here, you see animals closing in the whole side here. Right. So now animals wall. So I mean, we have to finish up the sugya here, but I could be a wall, but only for my length of my body and the width of my body. But I would presumably be a wall, you know, at the end of the sukkah, not in the middle of a sukkah. You know what I mean?
So in other words, it you have to be positioned in a particular location,
right,
as a human being to be a wall.
Right. Like we see, look here, all the people, they're surrounding objects.
And do you just have to be there for the duration of the time the other person's eating?
I tell you, Robert, wait till we get to the end of the whole sugya. I think you'll be in a better position to ask questions at that point in time, okay? So just wait another 20 lines, and then when we have the whole sugya, then I think it's you'll be in better, okay? So let's see back in the Gemara.
Can you review the last 10 lines?
So the Gemara, again, we had two Brises. One Brise says that I can't make a mechitza with an animal, with kalim, with a human, and the other Brises is I could. Yep. So the Gemara thought maybe it's connected to a machlok between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir says that I can't use an animal as a wall of a sukkah, and Reb Yehuda says I could. Yep. So we thought the Reb Meir holds that I can't use an animal as a wall. That means it's not a legally valid wall. So if it's not a legally valid wall, so if I use an animal, I'm not creating a legally valid partition. So I'm not doing it. It's like no harm, no foul. And Reb Yehuda holds it is a wall. So then
can I use it?
What?
You will not be able to use it.
Right. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that only explains to animal. But the Brice is talking about using Adam and Kalim, a man and Kalim as well. So Reb Meir doesn't say that those are not legally valid partitions. They are legally valid partitions. And then the Gemara said, how is Reb Meir going to shtimois with the other machloket we learned about being, you know, building an Ohel Arai on Shabbos with the Sheet of the Chachamim? So nobody holds that I could build an Ohel Arai on Shabbos. So now, with three lines from the bottom, Elo Havaha Rabbanan. So the Gemara says both Brises are working within the sheet of the Chachamim. Remember, the Chachamim hold I can be most of an opinion, but I can't build an Ohel Arai on Shabbos. He says, V'kelim akelim lokasha. Now, we're going to divide up the Brises. So one Brises says I can't use kelim for a wall, and one Brises says I could use kelim for a wall. So he says that's not a contradiction. Habadofen shlishit, habadofen revit. You know, everybody's got to mute themselves. Somebody are unmuted, and I hear all the noise, okay? So the whether it's the third wall or the fourth wall. In other words, the third wall of a sukkah is crucial for the sukkah. So if I use kalim to create the third wall, that's an act of binyan ohel arai on Shabbos. if I use kalim for the fourth wall, that's like icing on the cake, because I don't need the fourth wall for a sukkah. I only need three walls for a sukkah. So the Gemara wants to say that the brisa that says that let's just focus on kalim first. The first brisa that says I can't use kalim for the wall is telling you about the third wall. The second brisa says that I could use kalim is telling you about the fourth wall. He says, Habadofen Revit, Habadofen Shlish, Habadofen Revit. Dekanami, Dekatani, we could deduce this from a careful reading of the Braisa. It says, Nafal Dofna, its wall fell. Its wall means like the important wall, which is the third wall. So if you look at that, the first Braisa, which is the one that said you can't use it, it's around the 10th line from the top. It says, Nafal Dofna, its wall fell down. In other words, the crucial wall fell down, so I can't use Kalim to replace it. So Shmamina. Now, turn page on Amud Beis. So, and the Gemara could explain that with the Mita also. He says, Ela Adam, Adam, Kasha. But with the Shita, with the person, that's hard to fit in because the second Bryce that we wanted to say is talking about where it's a fourth wall, which, you know, so it's like not crucial. But the second Bryce has said as well that if I use the person, Osa Adam Chaver Dofen Kadeshu Chal Vishtav Yishan, that I could use my friend as a wall so that I can eat, sleep, and drink in the sukkah. That sounds like the person is crucial. So again, our working teretz is the first brisa is talking about a third wall. The second brisa, which gives you the green light, is talking about a fourth wall. But when it talks about the person, is I want to put the person as a wall because I want to be able to eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah. That sounds like it's a third wall. It doesn't sound like the fourth wall. So the Gemara says on top line, Adam, Adam, Nami, Lokasha, with the person and the person being able to use the person, not being able to use the person, that's not a contradiction. Kan ladat, kan shlomi dat. That it depends on whether the person knows he's being used as a partition or not. He says, so in other words, if the person knows he's being used as a partition for the third wall, he's not allowed to do it. If he doesn't know he's being used as a partition, he is. So the Gemara is saying that the Braisa is talking about two different cases, even though you wouldn't see it from the words of the Braisa. With the non-human partitions, it's talking about third wall, fourth wall. With the human partition, it's talking about third wall, but in one case, the person knows he's being used as a partition, I can't use him. In the other case, he doesn't know he's being used as a partition, I could use him. So the Gemara says, he says, but the incident with Rav Nechemi Breid Rav Chanilai presumably was with knowledge of people. He stuck out there, and I'm bringing a whole chevra of people to surround him to make this partition, so he'll be Rishus Yachid, and he'll be able to get back to his tchum. He says, so the Gemara says, Shlomi Dad Hav, it was without their knowledge. In other words, so Rav Chista, or whoever, invited a whole cholesterol of people to go out to him, and he didn't tell the people, I need you for this purpose. He just said, everybody, you stand here, there. and then it worked out. He says, so the Gemara says, Rav Chista mi la dad ha, but Rav Chista knew what was going on. How could he have been part of this wall? So the Gemara says, Rav Chista shlomo minyan hava. Rav Chista was not part of the wall. Rav Chista was the choreographer, but he was not part of the wall, and nobody else knew about what was going on. Okay, let me just summarize again, and then we'll go on. Okay, so again, the question was, how, again, this fellow was stuck, Nechemia Bar Rav Chanilai, he was stuck outside his tchum. So the Eitzah was to have people form a partition about him so that he'll be able to get back to his tchum. So the question is, how can you have people form partitions? So we had two Bryces, one saying you could make partitions in the sukkah, one you can't. So it came out that there's really two different dinim. One is dealing with, let's say, kalim and animals. So there, if it's to form the third wall, I cannot use it. But if it's to form the fourth wall, I could, because it's really like just like icing on the cake. It's not crucial, for the binyan. And then with the person, though, I can't say that because it says in the second price, I need the person to eat, drink, and sleep. So with the person, it's both talking about a third wall, but it's telling me if the person knew he was being used as a wall. So if the person knows he's using a wall, I can't use him. If he doesn't know he's being used as a wall, then I can. Okay, let me do another six lines to the Mishnah, then we'll take some questions, okay? Because it's all related. So the Gemara says on the fifth line from the top, Hanau b'nei genana da'ilu maya b'mechitza sh'b'nei adam. There were these like wedding party people on Shabbos. They created in the Rishus HaRabim a mechitza of people in order to bring water to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, he says, Nagdinu Shmuel. So Shmuel gave them malkot. He gave them lashes. He says, Amar, Imam Shlomi Dad, Yomu Ladad. He says, if the Chami said he could do this, if the people don't know, doesn't mean that if they do know, you do know you could do it. Then Hanau Zike, the Habashadian Bariska de Mechuza, he says there were these Zike, which are like leather flasks. And here you see, this is the picture. You see the picture? Here's everybody. And these were rabbas. In other words, they were flasks, leather flasks. Here they look like animals, but they were leather flasks, and they're stuck in the marketplace in Mechuzah. So Rabbi, he says, so Baristika de Mechuzah, Bahari de Ata Rabba Mipirke. So Rava was leaving his shir, and a whole cluster of people were following him, and here are all the people following him, and this was Shabbos. Ailinu Nehele, so his Shamas then carried these flasks back to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and they were Rava's flasks. The Shabta Kriti Bayi Ailinu, next Shabbos, the same thing happened, and the Shamas also wanted to carry them in. He says, Va'asar lahu, Rava prohibited them. He says, Dahabale kiladad, Va'asar. He felt this like ladas. It means even though the people still didn't know, so Tosos on the previous staff, when you look at this Tosos at the bottom of him, Gimel Mabez, Tosos says, two lines from the bottom, in Gimel Beis 43b, he says, V'yesh lomar in Tosfos, kevan shekvar asu pamachad, since they did it once already, yedush ladat kein asu, they'll realize that's why they did it, but asur mikan ve'elik, the masik b'samach v'shvaitin, they'll realize that, in other words, they'll come to realize what's going on. So Rava prohibited them to doing it. He says, Levi, ailu le tivna, Levi, people carried in straw on his behalf, you know, using human partitions. And again, the human partitions apparently didn't know what was going on. Ziri aspasa, for Ziri, they brought in aspasas, like food for the animals. Rafsim brachia mai, they brought water in. So it means, again, so let's just summarize. So I summarized the previous sugya, but the basic idea is that if people don't know they're being used as a partition, then I could use them. Otherwise, I can't. Okay, who's got now we're ready for everything. All right, let's hear from you. Robert, you got questions? What's going on? Now's the time. All right, let me hear. Oh, yeah, Michael Fern, okay, yeah. And Robert. Okay, Robert was first in. Okay, Robert, let me hear from
now,
you.
Now, going back to the person in the sukkah, where does the person physically have to be? Because we just read that if you knowingly are serving as a partition, it doesn't count.
Okay, here's a sukkah. Okay, let's go back here. Okay, you see this picture of the sukkah?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Robert.
I'm looking at it.
Okay, so take away the animal. Imagine the animal's not here. Imagine I have three people standing here. Then there'll be the mechitza. There'll be the third wall.
But didn't we just read that if they're aware that they're being used as a partition, it's puzzle?
That's correct.
So then how could they stand there and not think they're being used as a partition?
I don't know. He says, listen, I want you to come and join me in my sukkah. And he says, you know, I have a lot of people here today. And you know,
but Ruben don't Shimon, move.
Reuben and Shimon Levi are going to stand here. Yisachar is willing to be here. And you know, Dan Naftali and Asher, you'll stand over here. We don't have room in the sukkah.
What about if they just sit at a table?
So they sit at a table, though, but you're chopping up the sukkah. In other words,
the cow's not taking up the entire space.
No, in other words, let's say the table's in the middle of sukkah. So if they're in the middle of sukkah, then it might work, but and again, they I think they if they're sitting,
they have to be parallel to the short wall.
Well, they need to be standing. They need to be over 40 tefachim, so they need to be standing. And secondly, wherever they're standing has to constitute a kosher sukkah. So I don't know where they are at the table vis-a-vis the other walls and the rest of the measurements, but theoretically it could work. But they need to stand. Okay, let me get to everybody else. Okay, now. Well, let me get Michael then Fern. Okay, what do you got for me, Michael?
So with the animal, why isn't that Seido, Tzayid? You're trapping, it's on Shabbos Yontov, right?
Yeah, remember, didn't we discuss it, like if it's a domestic animal or a wild animal, like a cow, is there Seido with a cow? The cow hangs around the house. Didn't we discuss this?
But here you're tying the animal to the wall.
Yeah, so here in the picture, he ties to the wall, must be based on another sugya. I don't remember this so clearly, but basically, like if it's an animal, like let's say my dog or whatever, you know, like is there Seder with my dog? In other words, the dog's not an animal that runs away, you know what I mean? It's like my domesticated animal. So I don't think there's a din in Seder with domesticated animals, as far as I know.
They can't use a deer?
a deer, I wouldn't recommend. I definitely wouldn't recommend using a deer. But if it's certainly,
I wouldn't recommend using a cow. Now, and why isn't that? You have a puzzel sukkah on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and now you've finished your sukkah.
Right.
Now it's a kosher sukkah because you put the people or something, and that's not bona, that's not makah papatish.
That's what the Gemara is just explaining. In other words, the question was, you know, are you making an ohel arai or not? And the Gemara says that if people don't know they're being used for an ohel arai, it's permissible. And then we said with the non-people, so I can only use it for a fourth wall. I can't use it for the third wall because I am creating an oval with a third wall. Okay. All right. And then with the deer, a deer is subject to tzeda. The deer is definitely subject to tzeda. Okay. What's up, Fern? What do you got for me?
Continuing what Michael said, why does the knowledge of the people that they're being used, why does that aser using them? That's one question. And the other question is, you're always talking about mixing kashim with mun. Why are we using a sukkah standard to get this? I know that you have mechitzo, that's a commonality. But why are we using that standard to return this guy to his tum, this poor schlep that can't move?
Okay, so the issue here is ohel arai, a temporary ohel. That's the question. And the way I remember Ohel Arai is it's in the Rabbanan to begin with. And it was building on Shabbos is with an Ohel Arai. And this partition around the sky is also like something which is Arai, which is temporary. So whatever is permissible in one would be permissible in the other, not permissible in one, not permissible in the other.
Even though the purposes are very...
Right. So as far as the people knowing and not knowing, so it's a Din to Rabbanan. So if people are standing around, they don't know that they're being used for... And Ohel Arai, so that's what the Gemara says.
And I'm asking you, why does knowing or not knowing, why does that change the...
Because, in other words, they're not conscious of anything. So how can I... In other words, Ohel Arai is a Din Rabbanan, that I shouldn't come to think that I should build an Ohel, you know, an Ohel Kavua. So, but if they don't even know they're being used in Ohel Arai,
I, as the conductor of the orchestra, know that I'm creating an Ohel Arai from these guys.
I guess, like, because, you know, people are considered sapient beings and they go where they want. And so if I ask them to stand in a certain place, they don't know why I'm asking them. So it's like no harm, no foul. You know what I mean? If I'm taking an inanimate object, I leave it there. So we assume it's going to stay there. You know what I mean? So it's making all awry. But a person, you know, he's
has volition. Okay.
That's what I would think. But all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Yeah.
What's up?
Why can't the delegation go on the boat, then the Sfina, and take the man off the boat? You have the same delegation.
Oh, with Tuchum.
Yeah.
So I tell you what the difference is. You see, with the boat, you see here, the Gemara gave two ukimtas. One is that the delegation, I tell you what, it's different. With the boat, let's say his Tuchum Shabbos was out at sea. So that was his tchum. Now the boat comes into port. So now he's limited to Dalet Amos if he leaves the boat. Here, the guy already had a tchum. In other words, his home was like Greenacre. His home was Greenacre, is a block over. So they're just creating like a deer or a sar to get him over to Greenacre. Here, with the boat, Greenacre is out at sea. Do you know what I mean? In other words, the person, he had his tchum Shabbos going into Shabbos. He had 2,000 Amo, but that was at sea. Now the boat pulled into port. So now, you know, so where am I going to bring him to? You understand what I'm saying, Sal?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me move on to the Gemara. And this will really kind of bring us into the next sugi as well. Let me split the screen again. All right. Let's see. Okay. All right. Here, I'll leave it here with the Chevra. All right. Let's see the next Mishnah. All right. Now, just the Hakdama to the next Mishnah. So the Gemara learns in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that let's say you have Edim who see the new moon, so they're allowed to leave their tchum on Shabbos to appear before Beis Din. They could leave their tchum. In other words, they saw the new moon, let's say 5 miles away, and they're going to walk to the Beis Din to report we saw the new moon. So they would have to violate tchum Shabbos to talk to the Beis Din if it was on a Shabbos. But the Gemara learns that they have a heter to do it. In other words, again, the tchum we assume is in the Rabbanan, they get a heter. But once they get to the Beis Din, now they're limited to Dalet Amos because they left their tchum, so now they're stuck. then the Gemara says Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that they get 2,000 amot when they under those circumstances at the place that they're at. In other words, they get a different 2,000 amot, or we'll see in a minute. So there are certain people who are permitted to leave the tchum. One is the Eidim by Rosh Chodesh, and then sometimes people, because of Pikuach Nefesh, they want to save people from a marauding army, they want to save people from a fire, they have a green light, or a woman who's like a midwife, so they have a green light, I think a midwife, right? Everybody's got to mute themselves, all right? Please mute yourself, whoever was not muted, all right? So so the people, they have a green light to leave. Now let's see back in the Gemara. Manitin Mishet Sabar Rishut. If a person left with Rishus, in other words, like the rabbi said, you could leave your Tchum Shabbos, but Amru Lo, Kvar Nasa Maisa. And then they tell him, you know, it's so nice of you to come. You know, I know you came to give Eidus for Rosh Chodesh, but we don't need you anymore. Some other people had already came to testify, or you came to save people from the fire, but the people would have been saved. Yesh Lo Alpayim Amal Lecho Ruach. So now he still has 2,000 amot in each direction, presumably at the place that he's at. And we'll see. Imaya betocha tchum, and we don't understand these words, and the Gemara will explain it. If he was still betocha tchum, we think it means if he never left his original tchum, ki'ilu lo yatsa. This is if he didn't leave. We'll see. Kol yotzim lahatzil chozim l'komen. Everybody who leaves to save somebody, they have a green light to go back to their makom. And those two last lines we'll have to explain. Line 3 we'll explain now. And then the other line, not tonight. Okay, so the Gemara says, what does it mean if he was in the tchum? It's like he didn't leave. He didn't leave. What do you mean it's like he didn't leave? He didn't leave. So what's going on with that? So I'm a rabbi hachi kamar. It means if he was still within his tchum, it's like he never left his house. So the Gemara says pshita. That's also obvious. So the Gemara says ma'udatema ho ba'akar akar kamashalan. So Rabbi wants to say like this. I would think that once, in other words, he sets out on a journey or a trip, and his intent is to leave the tchum, and he's intending to leave the tchum with the rishus of the chachamim. So now I'm thinking that his first tchum is abrogated. His first tchum was where his house was. This is not exactly the same case here, but here he's got a house, and here's the person. In other words, my tchum is, my makam shvit is a house, and 2,000 I'm from the house. So I'm thinking, once I decide I'm leaving the house and I'm on a trip, because I have to appear as an aide or whatever in Yerushalayim, so now when I get 2,000 amo, now they say we don't need you anymore. So I would think that even though I'm within 2,000 amo of my house, now my makam shvit is where I am. In other words, now is special halachot. In other words, this makam shvita goes, in other words, let's say I had made it to Yerushalayim. So they give me 2,000 amot from where I am there. So now I went to make the trip. I didn't leave my original tchum, but they're telling me that, you know, we don't need you anymore. So now I would think maybe it's 2,000 amot from the location I'm at now. So kamash malan, that no, he gets his original tchum back from the house where he was in. So
I'm sorry, I don't say, did he leave his tchum or he did not leave his tchum?
Let's wait 2 minutes and I'll get to you, okay? So he says, so the way the Gemara is saying, so it's talking about his house. So when the Mishnah says, if his house was in tchum, it's kidlo yatsa. Okay, all right. So again, so Joseph, it means like this. He lives, let's say he lives in Telstone. He lives in Telstone, which is a suburb of Yerushalayim. And now he saw the moon last night and he's heading to the Bezdin. And now he's walking, and now he makes it 1,900 amot. And then they tell him, you know, you should know, Adam already came before the Bezdin. You don't have to come there anymore. So the Mishnah is teaching me that his original tchum is from where his house was, not where he is now. Because I would have thought that under these circumstances, his original tchum is obliterated, deleted, and now he has tchum where he is. That's special halacha with people who are doing a mitzvah. So kamash malan, no, that his house is still the tchum. All right, do you understand that? We have more questions.
Even if he went 22,
over the,
even if he went 2,200, he wasn't needed. He gets to come back, no?
No. In other words, he gets 2,000 amot from where he's located.
Oh, so he cannot come back.
But now, if he's within the original 2,000 amot,
he can come back.
You're saying your house is your original tchum, not where you are. Okay, that's the first pshat. That's from Rabba. Okay, now let's hear the second pshat. Okay, the first wide line, Amim Dalad Amim Beis. Everybody with me? Rav Simi Bar Chiya Amar, Hachi Kamar. Simi Bar Chiya says a different pshat in the Mishnah. This is more like your case, Yosef. So Rav Simi Bar Chiya is saying that if the original tchum and the new tchum, they both intersect with one another, they both overlap one another, so then he gets both tchumen. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, normally I only get one tchum on Shabbos. That's the tchum. That's your tchum for Shabbos. Here they're saying, if he was leaving on a mitzvah, let me get back to the picture book. One second. So now, here's his house, and here's where he is. So now he has another tchum. So he's got 2,000 amot, but it's 2,000 amot, they reach into the first 2,000 amot. So it's teaching that he can go back, because he's got this tchum and that tchum. Nothing's canceled out. In other words, so both tchumen exist. That's what we think. So let's see back in the Gemara. Rav Simi Bar Chiya Amar, Hachi Kamar. Imayu tchumen shenan luchamim muvlain betoch hatchum shlo, v'tzu tchumim, like, overlap, kidlo yasami tchumo. Okay, so the Gemara says, b'mai kimifliki, what's the point of dispute between these? Please, everybody mute themselves. Somebody's unmuted, and I hear all the noise, okay? Okay, now, he says, b'mai kimifliki, what's the point of dispute? So the Gemara says, mar savar havla tchumen miltahi. In other words, the second opinion, Rav Simi Bar Chiya holds that overlapping tchumim is a legal recognized idea in halacha. In other words, I could have, under these limited circumstances, two tchumim for Shabbos, normally not, but here when I went on the Dvar Mitzvah, I could have two tchumim, and two tchumim could overlap, and now I could use going to both. He says, umar savar lav miltahi, and the other opinion, Ayi Rabba, holds there's no such concept as overlapping tchumim. You only have one tchum. You can't have more than one tchum. So now you have this new tchum. So the other tchum is like press the delete button. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody good?
All but right. Either way, the guy can get back home.
No. In other words, you're mixing the kasha with the, now it's the kasha with the mun here, Fern. In the first pshat, he had never left his original tchum. In the second pshat, he had left his original tchum, and he wants to go back home. Oh. So that's why he can't go back home. And actually,
he can go back home.
One second. In the second pshat, if you hold from tchumim uvlayim, if you hold that tchumim can overlap one another, he can go back home.
Right.
If you hold it can't be overlapping, he can't go back home. Okay. So here, Rashi mentions that. Let me see where it is. What's his? I'm looking for a line in Rashi. What's one of? Yeah. If you look at the fifth very wide line in Rashi, last word in line is Virabba. Virabba Savar Lav Milti Hilkach Lomatzah Terutzi. This is God. And then he says, yeah, and around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the eighth wide line, Virabba lately had the tunnel near Dileil. Rabba does not hold from that which the Neridians taught earlier, Vimpikehu Ayel Tchumo that came into Alal. Remember, I don't know if he had to go to the bathroom or something, so he was outside his tchum, so now he can like use it as an excuse to get back to his tchum. In other words, according to the Rabba, again, when you only have one tchum for Shabbos, so if you have Dalet Amot, that's your tchum. You don't, the original tchum is gone. It's history. So you can't go back to original tchum. It doesn't exist in Halakha anymore. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Let me go back to our screen sharing. Okay. So let's take a look. So now... So now we're on the third very wide line. Amarle Abaye the Rabba. So Abaye was Rabba's nephew and his Talmud. So Abaye says to Rabba, "Va'ad lo tisbra davlat chumin milta." You mean my entire fetter, my dear uncle? You don't hold from havlat chumin that chumin can overlap one another? Uma ilu shabbat b'ma'ara shabatohu arba alafim. Let's say a person created his Shabbos residence in a cave that extends 4,000 amot. And it has two entrance or exits, one on each end of the cave. He says, "Al gagap hakot miarba adalafim ama," and then on the roof of the cave, it's like one ama less than 4,000 amot. He says, Lo nimsa mahalach et kula b'chusla al paimama. So if you look at the picture here, okay, this is his picture of a cave. I don't know, and it's a little not exactly where I would have made the cave, but he's got like this sort of like subterranean cavern here in this picture. So it's 4,000 amot, and then there's one point of exit here, one point of exit here. So going into Shabbos, he's got 2,000 amot from each exit. This is his makom shvita, the cave. The cave is 4,000 amot. He can go 4,000 amot in the cave. That's like Versailles. In other words, that's the home. Then he gets 2,000 amot from there. But 2,000 amot from one exit, 2,000 amot from the other exit. So Mela, over here, he can walk on the roof of the cave from one end to the other end. So he's walking like close to 4,000 amot on top. So Abaye is saying to Rabbah, don't you agree that under these circumstances, a person, in essence, has two tchumen? He's got one tchum here, 2,000 amot in each direction, one tchum here, 2,000 amot in each direction. The two tchumen overlap one another, so he's able to walk from one end to the other end, even though it's 4,000 or close to 4,000 amot. Don't you agree with that? So two lines from the bottom. Amar Lei, so Rabbi said to him, Lo shani lach ben hecha de shabbat b'avir mechitza mivud yom, lecha lo shabbat b'avir mechitza mivud yom. Don't you make a distinction between whether a person was in like an area with mechitza on Friday afternoon, and that's his makom shvita, to where he's been placed somewhere or he changed his makom. So where you change your makom, I don't think you can have you know, this overlapping mechitza. Here in this instance, he was shoveit. He rested here in the cave, and in Achinam it worked out. He had it like this. In the other case, though, the person was on his way to Yerushalayim, so he left his original tchum. So I don't think you have overlapping. I see the sign up is up for Yom Kippur, everybody. Okay, so let's all go and sign up right now. Okay, in 1 minute. Now he says. So the Gemara says, "Vehech lo shavat lo." You mean if he didn't rest in the mechitzot, so there's no overlapping mechitzot? So let's take a look on Memheim and Aleph, the top line, Vahatanan. We learn in the Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah later on, which we had earlier in the Daf on Nunbeis, Reb Lezer Omer, Shtayim Yikanes, Shloshal Yikanes. So again, when a person leaves his tchum, so he's allowed Arba Amot. Does a Machloket Tanayim, does it mean a square 4 Amot by 4 Amot, or a square 8 Amot by 8 Amot? Is it, in other words, like he gets 4 Amot in each direction, or it's like total 4 Amot? So Reb Lezer holds it's 4 Amot total. So Reb Lezer holds, if he was taken out of his tchum, and he comes within 2 amot of the tchum, he can enter the tchum. So in essence, he's got overlapping tchumen. He's got his original tchum, and he's got this tchum because he left his original tchum. So don't you hold from that? He says, if he's only 2 amot away, he can enter. My love, Reb Lezer Tamei Damar, V'huba Emtza'an, Reb Lezer is Tam, that he's in the middle of the Dalet Amot, V'yarba Amot Diyavu Le'Rabbanan, K'man Dimbalan Damu, Bekamar Yikanes. In other words, so that's also a case of overlapping tchumen, even though he didn't rest in it, you know, before Shabbos. He had his original tchum, then he left his original tchum. Now in his new place, he didn't rest there before Shabbos, but he still has Dalet Amot. And when he comes within 2 amot of the original tchum, Reb Lezer says he can go in the original tchum. So Reb Lezer concedes that I can have, you know, multiple tchumen and I can make use of it. So he says, Alma havla tchumen miltahi. So don't you see from there that overlapping tchumen indeed, and you're an amora, and the Tana holds from it. So Amalei Rabba Bar Barachan Labaye, so Reb Chanan Labaye, Uz Reb Lezer, Kamot Vilei Lamar, you're asking a kash against Rabba from Reb Lezer, the Chamim Rechulak with Reb Lezer. So how can you ask a kash from him? From Reb Lezer, and the Gemara often calls Reb Lezer Shmuti, a follower of Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, in the Shmili Mine Demar. He says, no. He says, I am asking from that because I heard from Mar, from the master, from Rabba, Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabban Alei Reb Lezer, Levar Rishut. The only machloket is by Devar Rishut, not something optional. In other words, he left and now he wants to enter Israel's Tchum for something optional. He says, Aval Ledvar Mitzvah Modulei. But if it was in connection with the mitzvah, so or I didn't say it right. In other words, he left the original tchum not to do a mitzvah. So in other words, the derech mechulak. In other words, he left his original tchum not to do a mitzvah. He just left, then they're mechulak with him. But where he left his original tchum to do a mitzvah, Then even the Chachamim agree that once he gets within two amot, he can step into his original tchum. Okay, so let's just get the main ideas before. So the main idea we've introduced is the idea of havlat tchumin. Can a person, under some circumstances, have two tchumin on Shabbos, and then the two tchumin can meet, and then he can go from one tchum to the other tchum? So Rav Simi Bar, who is it, Rav Simi? One second. So Rav Simi Bar Chia said, yeah. You do have havlat tchumin, and Rabbah rejected the idea of havlat tchumin. So Rav Simi Bar Chia explains the Mishnah that the person had left his original tchum, and now he's given 2,000 amot. But where the 2,000 amot overlap his original 2,000 amot, now we can go back home. That's the way Rav Simi Bar Chia interprets the line of the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah says in the Yeshlo, he says imaya betoch hatchum ki lo yatzah. In other words, if now he's with his original tchum, it's like he didn't leave because he can make it up there. And then Rabbi didn't explain the Mishnah that way. Rabbi said, like the original 2,000 amot. So Rabbi seemed to reject the whole idea. And then Abai asked him a question. First he asked about the cave. So he says, well, the cave is a whole different zach. There he was resting there going to Shabbos. And that's his tchum. And he's allowed to have, 2,000 amot from each entrance and exit. But then he asked him from the Mishnah with Reb Lazar, and the Gemara doesn't record an answer to that. So it seems like, Rab is upgeschlacht with that. Okay, Winston, let me just take a look. All right, let me talk about for a minute or two about Mechitzot, and then we'll take some more questions. That'll be it, okay? So this is from the Aladaf. He says, if a Jew knowingly desecrates Shabbos, but Mechitzot in an open area, he can't carry those walls. Forbidden to benefit from desecration of Shabbos. Because it's erected on Shabbos for Shogeg, he says, or if they were erected by a non-Jew, you can use it, fine. The Gemara says, human wall formed by people standing side by side is halacha libal mechitza. The Gemara, in fact, relates that based on halacha, Rabbi's attendant once carried the vessels, etc. He set everything up. Since the formation of such a mechitza does not involve the malacha, one may utilize it, even if it was formed on Shabbos, he says, because it is similar to mechitza that was formed by Shogeg. That's why he says here, that might help you a little bit, Fern. He wants to say that, like, it's not worse. If the people don't know, it's not worse than being formed b'shogeg. The Gemara always says there's six use of yom mechitzas when the participants are unaware they are functioning as legal mechitza. The sages prohibited forming a human mechitza in a conspicuous manner, for it may lead to laxity in the Easter of carrying on Shabbos. Oh, so that's one. Alternatively, they forbade people deliberately partake in forming such a mechitza because it resembles a malacha bona. When formed deliberately, it's considered a mechitza that was erected b'mezid, which may not be used on Shabbos. So he seems to say, like, if they don't know about it, we view it like as something being done b'shogeg. That's the way he seems to say over here. Thus, when we carry means of human mechitzas, only many people happen to be gathered, they don't realize they're being used as mechitzas. Alternatively, we can assemble a crowd under a pretext without informing them the true purpose of the assemblage. The Ravah maintains that if the people were originally gathered shlolodad, they may be relied upon as mechitza, even if they subsequently discover that they are functioning as mechitzas. The Prima Gadim suggests that if the people are gathered before Shabbos, then perhaps they are permitted to continue standing in their position and function as mechitza when Shabbos begins, even if they were always aware of the purpose of their assemblage. So the Prima Gadim wants to say if they're gathered before Shabbos, maybe okay. The Ramah says Shiboli Lech discourages the use of human mechitza today and asserts they may not be used except under extenuating circumstances. So the Ramah, it was like the chief Ashkenazi posik that does not recommend human partitions. The Meiri citing the Ravid explains that human mechitzas may be used only under discrete circum conditions when they're not aware of their function. Today, people generally are not very discreet and do not guard secrets very well. We're concerned that one of the people forming the mechitzas will invariably be apprised of his true function. Therefore, this method is no longer sanctioned. All right. Anyway, all right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did today? Everybody good? Okay, let me end this recording. One second.